It has been a crazy year that we have lived through these past months, and it's different from anything we've ever experienced in the course of our lifetimes. During the past 12 months, have you discovered that there were times when you experienced a lack of emotion? I know, a lack of motivation, I should say. I know I have. Have there been occasions when it took double or triple the time to do a basic task? Then welcome to the late stage of the pandemic. Many of us are feeling a little burned out, not as productive as we were a year ago. For some of us, the pandemic has left us reeling from a loss of health, a loss of income, a loss of a loved one. And though our circumstances vary, the mood is often similar. Margaret Warrenberg, who's an expert on anxiety, says that when people suffer from a long period of chronic, unpredictable stress, they tend to develop what is known as behavioral anhedonia. It's a reduced ability to simply take pleasure in activities. Have you tried to cope with the challenges of the past year in a variety of ways? Some people, sadly, have turned to alcohol and have tried to numb the pain. Other people have turned to food to try to cope with the stress. I read one study that indicated that 42% of Americans have added weight during the past 12 months. Many people have referred to their COVID-15, talking about the 15 extra pounds they've put on during the pandemic. Others have tried to respond in purposeful and meaningful ways to create pockets of joy by writing letters or emails or exchanging gifts and even adopting pets. I understand that the Humane Society is now out of pets because all of them have been claimed. People have wanted companionship in all this isolation. What does the Bible have to say about how to cope when you're in the storm of a pandemic? Well, this passage that we have read together and experienced as well this morning really speaks to these issues, I think. The first thing I think we need to remember is that we're in the boat together. In Matthew 8, we learn that Jesus got into a boat. His disciples followed him there. They were all in the boat together. And I think that's an important principle and point to remember, that we're not alone as we've had to go through this pandemic. Even though we've had to isolate a great deal because of the need to social distance and our experiences and emotions have varied greatly from person to person, nevertheless, we have all endured it together. We've all been in the same boat. And there is something about living through a global crisis that is a great leveling experience, and there are aspects of it that are common to us all. During this time, I think it's important not to judge another person's experience or to assume anything about them and how they've tried to cope with the challenges. It's easy to become critical. It's easy to assign motives to someone, but we really need to be careful we don't do that. We don't know the full picture of what they're going through. We don't know the whole story that's operating in their lives and how the pandemic has affected them. So be generous, be grace-filled. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Listen deeply to each other. Realize that we are a community, and we're all trying to follow Jesus together the best we can. We're all in this boat together. A second thing that I would encourage you to remember is that in the midst of all of this, Jesus is with us. And the text tells us that when Jesus and his disciples got in the boat, suddenly this violent storm erupted, and the waves began to crash against the boat and splashing over the sides of it. And the geographic location of the Sea of Galilee makes it particularly susceptible to these kind of violent storms because it's in the bottom of a basin surrounded by mountains. And while the storm began to swamp the boat, Jesus was asleep in the stern. And the disciples became so alarmed that they woke him up and they said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And at this, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and the result was that the storm died down immediately. The sovereign Lord of the universe spoke, and his creation responded to his word. The disciples were so amazed by this, they said to one another, "Who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him. The story reminds us that with the power of Jesus, regardless of what is going on around us, there is no need for us to be afraid. Whenever storms come our way and we feel like we're going to sink, it's encouraging to know that whatever happens, Jesus is right there with you, and he will see you through. You don't have to be afraid when you're in the middle of a storm, because Christ is with you through whatever storm you may be going through right now. Always remember that. And the third and final point I want to make this morning is, notice that Jesus not only rebuked the wind and the waves, he also rebuked his disciples. And he said to them, "Why are you having so little faith?" The great question that comes to us in moments of a storm is, do I trust Jesus? Can I trust Jesus? It's natural to be fearful when you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a pandemic. It's natural to wonder if life is ever going to get easier again. It's normal to be worried about the future. But can I give Jesus my emotions? Can I seek to develop a deeper trust in him? Can I yield my life to Christ and grow in my dependence and abandon all outcomes to the Savior? Why were you so afraid? That's what Jesus asked his disciples. It's the question he asks you today, too. He's also asking questions like, where do you find your security? Where does your joy come from? Do you trust me with your children? Do you trust me for your income? Do you trust me with your future? How is the Lord using the pandemic to invite you to trust him more as you seek to grow in grace? I close with this. William Cowper lived in England in the 1700s, and he composed many of the hymns that we still sing today. During one particularly dark period of his life, he became very despondent, battled depression. Persistent clouds choked out his hope. He actually made several attempts at taking his life, but they all failed. And then he started reading the Bible. And as he read scripture, he found peace in the midst of his very difficult life. And he wrote these powerful words to summarize Christ's dealings with him. Let's see them on the screen there. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Where is turbulence threatening your world today? In what ways does it feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat and you're trying to get his attention? And in what ways do you wonder why Jesus doesn't appear to be doing anything right now in your life? Call out to Jesus in the middle of your storm. Save me, Lord. And he will. It doesn't mean that God will always take the storm away as he did in this story in Matthew 8. I suspect we've got many more months ahead of us before we're going to be through this pandemic. Sometimes God simply reassures us that he is with us in the storm. As someone has rightly said, sometimes God calms the storm, and other times he just calms his child. But you can trust that Jesus will be with you, and he will see you through. You can count on it. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, this has been a marvelous and rich experience of looking at this passage in a variety of ways, from a variety of angles. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us as we make our way to the table. partake of the Lord's Supper. We thank you that it is a means of grace and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can nourish our weary and hungry souls as we feed upon Christ and draw strength from him today. We look to you, O Lord, in the middle of our storms. Thank you that you are with us. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.